Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it is on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, or twitch.tv/1080amthefan or youtube.com/1080amthefan. Thanks for partying along, you party people. Let's get this thing going. All right, NFL trade deadline has passed. Officially, they had a countdown clock and everything.
Yeah, it was all super official. Mm.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody snuck anything in at the buzzer.
It doesn't appear that anybody snuck in anything at the buzzer, because those things get reported and then they come across the line. All right, you want to get it?
Yeah, let's get after it.
The last trade of the deadline. The Houston Texans traded defensive tackle Khalil Davis to the 49ers in exchange for a 2026 seventh round pick. We got thoughts on that?
No.
All right.
The Texans can probably afford that. They've got some depth on that side of the ball.
Yeah, injuries just keep happening in San Francisco too. All right. Well, the Ravens.
I like the Ravers.
The Ravers.
The Ravers are where they are right now with on their offense.
They got a pacifier.
The Ravens have traded for cornerback Tre'Davious White. We mentioned that in hour number one. The Rams, in return, will get a seventh round pick in 2026. That's interesting. I think that helps the Baltimore secondary, though. Tre'Davious White was a guy who he was trending when he was in Buffalo before he got hurt, was trending to be one of the best corners in the entire league.
And you put him with Hamilton now, and now at least they look functional back there.
But the injuries have kept adding up for Tre'Davious White, and they have hit him like a truck. He has not been as nearly as effective, and I think that this is a move for Baltimore where you're saying, we're going to be grasping for straws. We need help, and we need to help in a desperate way. They didn't have to give up a lot of capital for it. A seventh-round pick, not in this next draft, but the following one. Yeah, you can make you
That's
can
the next
move
Brock Purdy right there.
You can get guys. You can recoup that pick somewhere along the way. So, and that was the Rams saying, all right, we're going to do right by this guy, and we're gonna let him go. We also talked about the Steelers picking up Jets receiver Mike Williams for a fifth-round pick. Weird move. But they also got pass rusher from Green Bay, Preston Smith. I think that one is going to be the one that is going to be more impactful.
It's another guy opposite of T.J. Watt.
And now, make no mistake about it, what that is, they are taking a look at the team that is leading that division, and they're saying, all right, or actually, they are leading the division. How do we stay on top against one of the most explosive offenses in the league?
Get after Lamar.
We've got to get after Lamar. We've got to have a way to stop Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Big people matter when doing that. So they go out and they get Preston Smith.
I think one of the interesting things about this trade deadline so far is two names that came up that were everybody was told were off limits. We talked briefly about DK Metcalf and the Seattle Seahawks saying, DK is not available. Also, there was reporting that the Colts were turning away teams on Anthony Richardson. And it's interesting, not that it's surprising on either of those players, but it's interesting that it's public.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the kind of thing, like, for those that don't know, in the NBA in general, I'm assuming it's very similar in the NFL, you call regularly on guys.
Yep.
You see, you're just checking in. And you're often rebuked regularly, but that doesn't get out. It doesn't get out that, hey, the Portland Trailblazers are not currently shopping Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no crap. So to get out that the Colts are like, hey, no, we're still actually committed to Anthony Richardson despite us putting Joe Flacco out there. I thought that was just a little bit interesting. The same thing with DK Metcalf, because in spite of both guys, DK is obviously very good already, but there's been some organizational inconsistencies as far as like messaging. You know what I mean? Like what's going on right now with Anthony Richardson. And then there's been not infighting, but DK's had a few barbs over the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I just find it interesting that both those players, feathers have been sufficiently ruffled. And so they had to kind of put this out there like, no, we're good here. We're going to keep these guys.
This is not happening.
It's very much Leslie Nielsen. Please disperse. Nothing to see here.
All right. Jerry Jones has made a move. The Panthers have traded Jonathan Mingo, wide receiver, to the Cowboys for a fourth-round pick.
I don't understand this. I don't understand this. It's the little CeeDee Lamb could be dinged up. You don't have a quarterback. Your team sucks.
Yeah, I mean, receiver fixes the problem, though.
And you gave up actual capital.
They gave up a fourth-round pick for Jonathan Mingo.
Why? What? Like, this is exactly what we were talking about yesterday with the Cowboys.
I don't know, man.
Like, the idea of, like, the Cowboys should just steer into the skid and try to recoup some cheap, good players at the top of the draft. And instead, they're expending draft capital at the end of an era where they have no more rope to grab.
I don't understand
it.
You're not wrong. I don't have an answer to that. I honestly, I don't.
Like, play devil's advocate here. Find me the silver lining of what this is, because I don't get it.
They gave up a fourth-round pick
mm-hmm.
for a guy that has fewer receiving yards than the following. New England Patriots running back Antonio Gibson.
Good. Let's just stop there.
Kansas City Chiefs running back Samaje Perine.
Good God, man.
Noted great receiving running back for the Green Bay Packers, Josh Jacobs.
Who does not literally catch the ball but like six times a year.
Trey Palmer, wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cedric Wilson Jr. of the New Orleans Saints. And tight end of the Denver Broncos, Adam Trautman. He has 12 catches for 121 yards this year. Wrap your head around that. And they gave up a fourth-round pick. By the way, do you remember what they traded Amari Cooper for? Amari Cooper, when they sent him to Cleveland, do you remember what they got for Amari frigging Cooper?
Was it in the fourth?
Fifth.
Yeah.
A fifth-round pick is what they sent to Cleveland for Amari Cooper. They traded a fourth-round pick away for Jonathan Mingo.
That is pick laundering.
I don't know what they're doing, man.
I jokingly mentioned Jerry Jones firing his son as the general manager.
Yeah.
But maybe Stephen Jones is trying to get fired.
I guess.
I just don't understand. There's no world that I can justify that move.
Yeah. Obviously, the big moves of the day, and we talked about these in hour number one. The Saints trade Marshawn Lattimore to the Washington Commanders for a third, fourth, and sixth round pick in the 2025 draft. That's a huge move for Washington. They are saying, nope, we're not just happy to be at the top of the division through the first nine games of the season. We want to stay on top of the NFC East, and they needed a corner in a big way. They got a corner and Marshawn Lattimore, and this is a signal that the New Orleans Saints, seven straight losses, they're going to keep going that way. They were in sell mode, and they got rid of one of their better players who's been nursing a hamstring injury. I wonder if he's going to have the Davante Adams, who magically healed once I'm
gone. Oh, wow, look at this.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. That was a big move at the deadline. The other big move was the Browns sending Za'Darius Smith and a seventh-round pick in 2026 to the Detroit Lions for a fifth and sixth-round pick. The fifth-rounder in 2025, the sixth-rounder in 2026. Those are big moves for both the Commanders and the Detroit Lions because of the fact that, look, Commanders are saying we want to play ball. The Lions are saying we are going to try to fill that hole left by Aiden Hutchinson's gnarly injury that I think we all believe he'll be done for the year. We needed to fill that hole. We are finding a way to do that. They now have a defensive line that goes Za'Darius Smith, Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader, and Josh Pascal across the board. That's not too damn bad. You are missing Aiden Hutchinson, but that defense is able to survive now and be a championship caliber defense still.
It's so insane to sit here and talk about the Detroit Lions as being a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
I love that.
It's awesome.
I love that.
That's awesome. It's been so long and since they've been good and relevant, and they're doing it in a way that feels real and sustainable and tangible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a move that you absolutely you go out and make.
All right. Well, let's think about this. Movers and shakers at the trade deadline, right? Buffalo goes out. They get Amari Cooper. The Steelers go out. They pick up two guys at the deadline. Okay. You have the Kansas City Chiefs. They went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. And DeAndre Hopkins in his home debut, everybody's saying he's washed. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. He may not be the DeAndre Hopkins we saw at the beginning of his career. He's still got a lot left in the tank. They make a move at the deadline. Commanders make a move at the deadline. Lions make a move at the deadline. A lot of these division leaders went out and pushed all in. How many of these division leaders are we putting faith in, though? We are sitting here. Not most teams have played 9 games to this point of the year. Everybody's played at least 8. Which division leaders are going to fall off, and which ones are going to be sustainable? 503-864-6326. That's Vancouver Ford text line. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That is the Vancouver Ford text line. You know, it goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. All right, we had movers and shakers at the trade deadline. During this trade season, we saw the Bills, Steelers, Chiefs, Commanders, and Lions all bolster their rosters at the deadline. A lot of contenders too made moves, but 5 of the 8 division leaders, as we are 10 weeks or heading into week 10 of the NFL's regular season, they made moves.
Mm-hmm.
Which are the 8 division leaders do we think are going to stay, and which ones are going to take a tumble and not be there at the end as division winner? Buffalo in the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh in the AFC North. Houston in the AFC South.
Do we need poll?
Kansas City in the AFC West. Sure, yeah. Yeah, we could do an AFC and an NFC. Washington in the NFC East. Detroit in the NFC North. Atlanta in the NFC South. And then the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC West, where one game separates first and worst. In the NFC West. I think that's pretty easy to go with the team that we may trust the least. It's Arizona. I mean, Arizona being there, they're a team that I picked to be a playoff team this year. But at the same time, I'm going, you can lose one game and you're in last place.
If you ain't first, you're last.
They're Ricky Bobby. Woo. And they have a negative point differential and lead a division.
Does that ever work out for you?
Mostly no. No. And how about the San Francisco 49ers due to tiebreakers? They have a plus 28 point differential and are third in the NFC West.
Sucks to suck.
I guess so. All right. So let's go through it then. You're going to put the poll up at Danny and Dusty on Twitter. So you can go to twitter.com. You can still do that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to twitter.com, it sends you to X. So until it doesn't, I'm just going to keep calling it Twitter.
I mean, I think the discussion here is...
About Twitter or the football?
The football.
Okay.
It's in the AFC, and it's not... I think the easy answer is probably the Steelers, but I think the more interesting thing is like, of those top four seeds, who do you believe in the most outside of the Chiefs after last night?
Buffalo.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty clearly, because the Chiefs and the Bills are the only teams that are playing football above board in all three phases.
Like, I think Baltimore is really damn good, and I think they end up winning that division. I mean, if you're telling me where I have my faith in who's going to win, I know that the Steeler honks are all going to be very upset about that. Their defense is really good.
But your quarterback is Russell Wilson.
I know. Baltimore's defense is not very good. But I look at the way that offense is operating, and knowing a very well-coached team like John Harbaugh's teams are all very well-coached, just like Steelers and Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin's one of the best coaches in the NFL who seemingly every year people criticize him, say he's not going to do enough, and he overachieves literally at every single turn. He overachieves. But I look at this Baltimore team and I say, explosive offensively. You've got a 1-2 punch with Lamar and Derrick Henry now. That good luck defending that. You have verticality in your offense now that you used to lack. You have a play caller in Todd Monken that will want to push the ball down the field. And everybody is sitting there and saying, hey, what has changed with Georgia's offense the last couple of years? I see Todd Monken going from Georgia to the Baltimore Ravens, and look at what he's done to that offense. It's not just a Carson Beck issue. It's not just they lost, oh, I don't know, they're two top wide receivers at the beginning of the year. It is the two top receivers from a year ago,
but
too.
It's the scheming. It's the game it's planning. Scheme, it's the opportunities
it's weapons,
that are there.
Yeah. And Carson Beck is addicted to throwing to the other team. Right?
I mean,
it's a lot of it. Monken is really friggin' smart.
I need to find the... What is it called? The intervention episode for quarterbacks that are addicted to interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
Sandwich it right in between the your normal run-of-the-mill drugs and the woman who eats the stuffing out of couches.
And how about
it's the Nathan Peterman reality tour.
No, you know what it is? It's like Jameis Winston is going to be the counselor in the rehab facility. It's like, I used to be addicted to throwing picks.
Crab legs.
Mm. And then, no, throwing interceptions. Remember, Jameis Winston
threw a lot of them.
He had a historic year.
Yeah. Wasn't it 18?
No. It was like 30 or 20 or something. It was an incredible.
You're right. He had a high touchdown number, but he had a high interception number.
Yeah, he's
too.
Like the only
it was like
guy
a 1-to-1
like,
ratio.
He was ridiculous. I want to look at this. Yeah, he had 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions.
That's right. Yeah,
in 2019. Good but Jameis Winston could be the guy, but be like, I used to be like you guys, and be the inspirational, motivational speaker, just speaking nonsense.
He's interceptions anonymous coin,
inspiring all of these quarterbacks to find the righteous path and go down the road of not throwing picks.
Throws a pick and relapses.
Is that Bill Shakespeare over there
eating W's all over the place? Huh?
You got to give up the interceptions. You got to get the dubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh God, this sounds like a.
They need a Game of Zones.
I was literally going to say the Bleacher Report like Game of Zones. This like this.
Yeah.
I could see this happening pretty easily. This is not. God, it was the best thing Bleacher Report ever did.
Yeah, it was pretty good
for a 4-year really run good. Of just true magnificence.
Yeah. This is this though tells me I think Baltimore ends up winning that division in the AFC North. Buffalo's going to run away with the AFC East. Kansas City's going to run away with the AFC West. I do think that you get two playoff teams out of the AFC West, though. I think LA is starting to find a little bit more of a rhythm. They're playing a lot better. And I think that that is more to nothing that the Chargers are being like some Super Bowl contender now. But are there two teams that are going to come out of the AFC East? No. Are there two teams that are going to come out of the AFC South? No.
Mm-mm.
Highly unlikely that the Colts can get this thing back on the rails. So,
but it's a good thing you alienated your franchise quarterback and went back to Joe Flacco, though, right?
Comeback player of the year. And I think that also is the Texans in prime position, although they are going through a regression.
You're God, that division has been so disappointing.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
So disappointing.
Tennessee is what Tennessee is, but Jacksonville's been wildly disappointing.
Yeah, you thought Jacksonville would be get back on track, they'd be healthy, and you thought Tennessee maybe be a little spicy. Or not Tennessee, but Indianapolis would be a little spicy.
I think the Colts may be turning into that team that you're, like the Arizona Cardinals of like a decade ago, where you're like, I think this might be the year.
Might be the year.
And they never win the division. You're like, oh, damn.
Or the Falcons, the last couple of years of like, but they have so many weapons, but they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Like, is that the issue with the Colts? Because the Colts have a lot of weapons. Great running game, great wide receiver. Yeah, you know, it's
we have a
nice offensive line.
Linchpin and Quentin Nelson on the offensive line is pretty good. Yeah, it could be it for them. Crazy owner.
Feels very similar.
Yeah. What about the NFC, though? When you look at Commanders are 7-2, they are percentage points ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles, which the Eagles are figuring it out, man.
Yeah. The Commanders are plus 74, man. They're for real. Like, I know I started out the season. This was my dark horse pick. I believed in kind of what they were doing. I definitely was not super confident in that. I laid a little bit on that to start the season when the odds were very much in my favor.
Yeah.
But if I told you I said it like with my chest, it was more of a I could see it.
All right, how about I ask you this though? Who's the best team the Commanders have beat? I'll read you their wins.
Their schedule sucks because they've sucked in the past.
I'll read you their wins. They've beat the Giants twice.
Cardinals.
They beat the Bengals. They beat the Cardinals. They beat the Browns, Panthers, and Bears.
Yeah, Bengals and Cardinals are the two. Well, actually, I mean, look.
Hold on.
Oh, they were burrowless. The great suck-off.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Cardinals and Browns.
Cardinals and Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson Browns.
Okay. I'm giving credit because of the defense and a rookie quarterback.
All right.
I guess you're going to suck hard.
Now I give you the rest of their schedule includes.
Oh, it gets
the
sideways.
Steelers, the Eagles twice, and then the Falcons once. So they
and the Cowboys twice.
We're talking about teams that are good.
that was D Wade to LeBron right there. Perfect. Perfect.
I am lumping the Cowboys into. The Titans and Saints also remaining on that schedule as well.
Gobble up all of the suck.
But they have four teams against good.
Okay, there's seven wins right now.
Mm-hmm.
They very easily get to 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Based on playing the Cowboys twice and then having games against the Saints. Titans and the Saints.
Yeah. So, 10 for sure. Like, barring anything going crazy. Yeah. 11? Likely.
Yeah.
12 if they steal it? Like, this could be a 12-win team without really looking at much.
Yeah, uh-huh. 12-5 is a good season.
I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. But, I mean, if they steal one from the Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean, steal. Let's say they're just better than the Eagles, and they beat them. I don't think it's likely, but we'll see how it is, you know, the veteran teams. But they take care of that. Look, I shouldn't believe in them, but I do.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly believe in the Lions. There's not a team in football outside of the Chiefs that I believe in more than the Lions right now.
BT Dubs, the Eagles still have the Commanders twice, the Ravens, the Steelers.
So they could run some landmines here.
And then they have the Rams, too. So they got the Cowboys twice, the Giants once, and the Panthers.
So they got four.
Yeah.
So they're basically looking at a 500 stretch down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
I mean, both of those teams, though, the NFC East is going to be a fun little jaunt down between Philly and Washington.
Which is such a weird thing to actually say.
And that's great.
I know the easy one to go to here is the NFC West and the Cardinals. And it's only because the rest of the NFC South sucks. Because I don't believe in the Falcons. And if the Bucs had any semblance of an offense right now that wasn't just loaded onto the gurney and into the ambulance, I would say the Falcons. Because in the NFC West, it's who's healthy.
In the NFC West?
Yeah, I'm saying it's a matter of who's healthy. The Rams aren't healthy. The Seahawks aren't healthy. The 49ers aren't healthy. The Cardinals are kind of healthy. They're just not good.
Yeah.
But you believe in the Falcons more because there's nobody in that division.
Nobody.
They have the safest path to a playoff spot in probably the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, no, the Bills now in the AFC. But, I mean, it's...
How about this for the Atlanta Falcons?
We ain't found shit.
The Atlanta Falcons and Baltimore Ravens are the only teams in the NFL to have a winning record and allow over 215 points so far this season. Through nine games, each of them have allowed over 215 points. To put that into perspective, here are the other teams that have allowed over 215 points. The Panthers, Jags, Raiders, Bucks, Saints, Bengals, Cowboys, Seahawks, Patriots.
You serious, Clark?
I'm dead serious.
I mean, the only other team in that group with a positive point differential is the Buccaneers at plus 16.
And the Bengals.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Bengals in there, plus 9.
Yep. Yep. So they need, both the Falcons and the Ravens need to find help on the defensive side of the ball desperately. And I've got more faith that Baltimore is going to do it than Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I really do. And like that's the thing about this Arizona Cardinals team where you're like, they have Jonathan Gannon, who's a defensive-minded coach. They're not great defensively either. They've allowed 214 points. I mean, they have not been great on the defensive side of the football. And Jonathan Gannon is their head coach. He's a defensive guy. So I think the Cardinals are 100% my pick. Of any division leader right now that I do not expect to win the division.
Yes.
It's Arizona.
Only because the NFC South sucks so much.
That's
for
right.
For me. Otherwise, I would say the Falcons.
Yeah. I mean, in Tampa's just injuries at wide receiver. If Tampa's receivers were healthy, I would probably say, just looking at it right now, I'd go, yeah, Baker Mayfield, he's a dog.
Yeah, he's been
Unreal last night. He didn't put up great numbers, but that's like,
he battled Patrick Mahomes.
Baker did what they needed him to do to win a football game without his two best wide receivers.
Which, against a defense, that's been really good.
That game, they had no business being in that game.
And they had no business going for a freaking field goal.
A PAT?
We'll talk about that later.
Go for two!
Cowards. Cowards.
Go for two, Todd.
All right. Come up on our worst day on the web. You've heard of somebody peeing in somebody's Cheerios. What happens if somebody does that into your clothing iron?
And why didn't you go for two, Todd? Mm. I don't know, Margo.
Did I do that?
But first, it's the Big Kuna Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
There's a British slang term for taking the pee.
Yeah.
This one kind of takes it to another level. The headline reads, Met police officer filled steam iron with urine at Charing Cross Station. So if you're wondering, like, your iron for your clothes, instead of being filled with water, somebody peed in it. And they used it to press all of the officers' uniforms.
Oh, that is brutal.
It's collegiately funny. Disgusting. Entirely.
Very gross.
But 20-year-old me is going,
wait a minute, though. Somebody did this
inside the...
This is an inside job.
Oh, it's 100% an inside yard. This is like the biggest... I believe this is the biggest European processing station that exists out there across all the continent. Like, this is a big place.
Okay. And they get their clothes ironed for them, huh? Mm. That, you don't have to do that at home?
Well, so this is inside the station?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So This is the culprit filled an iron used for officers' uniforms while on duty with urine at the locker room in central London. They're probing two offenses of criminal damage after the grim discovery last weekend. The Met is investigating one count of criminal damage over the iron prank, which left officers' uniforms stained with body waste, and another over damage to an unknown piece of police equipment. And I'm like, what else were they using the iron on? Are they like ironing their bulletproof vest? Like, what's going on here? They're knife vests? Like, what else are you ironing that this could have damaged?
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
Malicious fecal distribution.
No, this is malicious urine distribution.
But very, very similar.
That was the closest thing.
Yeah, that is very close. Yeah. I wonder what the motivation here was. Do you get pulled over? Do you get like a jaywalking ticket on your way to work? You're like, you know what the hell with this guy?
But no,
and all the rest of them, too. I don't know which uniform is his.
It's an inside job.
I'm going to go ahead and do this to everybody. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not like another officer is ironing the clothes. This is like... Or you iron your own clothes? Is that what you're saying?
See, somebody
but
got
the
so
iron is there?
Somebody got so mad they didn't even want to pee in the Cheerios. They wanted to pee in the iron to iron the clothes.
Oh, how does this work?
I think this is another cop.
I think it's another cop. I do, too. Yeah. This is because in my mind, I don't think they have somebody hired who is pressing the clothes themselves, right? I think they have, like, the community iron, right? You got the community iron. Somebody's
could
like,
be.
You know what? I'm going to take a whiz in this iron because... Dale uses it. Dale's a D-hole, and I don't like him very much. So and then he's like, oh no. Dale's just the only guy when I'm here that uses this iron. Everybody else uses it. I'm in trouble.
I'm going to take this one step further and say, I don't want my taxpayers to go towards somebody whose job it is to iron the police officer's clothes. They can iron their own damn stuff.
I mean, this is London though, right?
I'm sure those Brits, those English people, they don't want their taxpayers going for somebody else to iron the Tories' uniforms.
All right, I'll hear it. Sustained.
Yeah, it's all very gross. It's all very gross. They got.
But it's a good one.
I mean, it is. It's. Look, that's why I opened this with. This is
you
gross,
are the petty
but,
king, so yeah. The backstory to this is probably the most
amazing.
Petty. Yeah,
but one retired Met detective, Chief Inspector Mick Neville,
McNeville,
M-I-C-K,
you get that at McDonald's,
McDevil. What
he dubbed the mystery culprit the Slasher of the Yard.
That. The Slasher of the Yard should be getting stabby.
Right?
Yeah, I feel like that doesn't fit at all.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't Jack the Ripper, this is Jack the Peer.
Yeah.
But with S's.
Like, if we were to go, like...
I would say a different word, but I think that is actually an FCC violation, according to George Carlin.
Yeah, the Wizard of the Yard? Ooh, the
there
Wizard...
There we...
Ooh. The Wizard of Yard.
Dusty got there.
Huh?
Oh, the Wizard of Oz?
I don't know where the Oz fits in, but the Wizard, what's the name of the station again?
Charing Cross.
What?
Charing Cross.
Charing?
Mm-hmm.
Charing Cross. Charing Cross.
Ooh, ooh, we have a potential upset here on the Vancouver Ford text line.
Oh, yeah, what do we got?
The peak could be from a fire department, a little friendly rivalry.
Hey.
That would be fun.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm in on this. Is this as truly uniquely American, or do all firefighters hate police officers globally?
I think it's a global thing.
And vice versa, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a big, apparently a big New York thing where, like, the firefighters and the police, they have, like, their big basketball games and football games.
Football,
against each other,
hockey,
and,
softball, baseball. They're playing in Yankee Stadium.
Like, they take it so
seriously. Like, that's the famous Chris Christie photo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They take it so seriously where, like, the NYPD, they put their name in the front of it, but when it comes to the fire department, it's FDNY.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even want them in the same, like, front
order.
Half of the, yeah.
This is...
I watched Law & Order.
The conclusion is, if caught, the officer or staff member in question would likely face a gross misconduct hearing and would be dismissed from the force without notice. I wonder if it would just be a regular misconduct order if it wasn't... the fact that he peed on everything instead of gross misconduct.
Yeah, I see what you're there, because that is pretty gross.
It is pretty gross.
Right?
It is pretty gross.
So he goes, how long do you think they went before they were like,
what does it smell?
I got a pee uniform on. Like, you go through full shift?
Look, I
think you notice it as it's being pressed, if you're pressing it yourself.
Unless it's a stinky room, which...
Well, see, but the thing is, you're not pressing it yourself because it's already been pressed with the pee iron. Right?
Right.
So, I mean, I would hope you'd notice it as you're putting it on.
Well, the thing is, like, look, I put a jacket on. I was walking out of the house the other day, and I had laid it on top of the...
Your pee?
No, not on my pee. Oh. On top of a box, like, low in my office. And the pup, Tanner, every now and then will mark something. Like, once every, like, couple months. And I got in the car, and I went, it smells like dog pee.
Uh-oh.
And I literally, like, lifted my arm and smelled it. I was like, oh, you little... Immediately threw it off and went back in the house and threw it in the washer. I was like, so, like, you notice pretty damn quick what that
pee,
is.
The pee scent.
The British diet certainly can't help.
All the bangers and mash?
Boiled foods?
I mean, yeah. I don't think you got a lot of good teammates in England, is what I'm saying.
I've made no bones about it. We are a cat household. We have three cats. And the other day I was cleaning one of the litter boxes, and it's the flushable litter. So, you know, we'd pick it up, we'd take it in the bathroom, we'd scoop it, and we'd flush it.
Sure.
And literally, a minute after I took this litter box into the bathroom to go scoop it, I find one of our three cats, and he's over there squatting in the corner right where that box was.
Yikes, dog.
Also next to another litter box that he could have gone in. And yeah, I chased... Yeah, like he's my little buddy.
Wow, you sound very upset about that.
No,
like,
I'm very
take a deep breath.
I'm very upset about it because he's like my little buddy too. He's the one that he's the big cuddler. Yeah. He's the one that always comes and like wants to rub up against me, and he's the dude. But yeah,
and this is why
I walked out and he was looking.
A cat doesn't care about you.
I walked out and he was looking right at me in my face as he did it too.
Yeah, he said, try and stop me.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Meanwhile, mine, he's just maybe a little too dumb sometimes. I love my little guy, but. Jimmy tries to assert a little too much dominance.
Okay.
Need you to chill, bud. All right, so there you go. That's our worst day on the web. One worst day on the web that we had yesterday. Coming full circle as Joel Embiid has found out his sentence for putting hands on a very, very, very dumb reporter. We'll get to that here next on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
Nerds.
The NBA has announced that Joel Embiid will face a 3-game suspension.
All right.
For a physical altercation with a reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
You know, okay.
Boo!
No, hear me out on this. I feel like this is a good suspension. What did Rudy Gobert get for the chokeout thing?
Oh,
Draymond? Draymond. What did Draymond get last year for choking out Rudy?
God, what was that? 5?
Yeah.
I think it was a bigger one.
Yeah.
Because that was,
I thought it was more than 5 even.
Was that wasn't the one that made him, that they took him out for, was it?
Rudy, yeah, but Rudy was suspended for the money sign
gesture,
thing.
Yeah.
Right? Joel Embiid literally shoved a reporter, which is a big no-no.
I agree.
I think that this is a good suspension because Joel Embiid still is not playing. But what was the report right after that incident happened?
Yeah, and it was 5.
It was 5?
Yeah.
5 for Draymond. So a guy literally chokes out another player in front of cameras on television. He got 5. But what I think that this is, the Philadelphia 76ers were like, well, he was really close to returning. Like immediately after this incident happened. I bet the NBA goes, how many games are you going to until you're going to be back? And he's like, 3. And they're like, you're suspended 3 games. And there are 3 games he wouldn't have played in anyways.
They just make him active now. And
make him active, have him suspended. He's going to miss no more time than he did before. I think that is why. Because literally Draymond choked a guy out on the floor and got 5, right? That's kind of what I was saying. Whatever Draymond got, I was like, that's probably what Joel's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
3? He wasn't going to play in those anyways.
NBA VP and disciplinarian Joan Dumars comment on the suspension. Mutual respect is paramount to the relationship between players and the media. While we understand Joel is offended, interactions must remain professional on both sides and can never turn physical.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of corporate speak on this. Yes,
hey,
they can.
Hey, and guess
sometimes
what, though?
Sometimes, yes, they should.
What was the first part of that? They should remain professional?
Professional.
Let's talk about professionalism, then, on the other side of this. In invoking your dead brother and your son's name to try to get you to play basketball. In a column.
Insane.
Let's talk about professionalism then. Jack Wagon.
Chris Long kind of echoed my exact sentiments earlier today when he was talking about Jason Kelce. He said the same thing that I said yesterday. So just people, the internet culture has made people way too comfortable saying crap that should and will get you punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, look, man, I brought it up before, the whole, like, punch purge. I'm telling you, if people were worried about getting hit, they would have a much, much different stance on what they say and do.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, violence isn't the answer. Yes, it is. It is. I'm telling you, man. And look, I'm not saying it's the first thing that you go to. But I'm saying in certain instances, if getting smacked in the beak is the ramification for said stupid actions, it is a incredible course corrector.
Well, I think something like what Embiid did is he didn't go over the line. Jason Kelce, what the term he used, he actually responded to the phone incident. And I loved what he said about that. Mm-hmm. Like, he greeted hate with hate, and that's unacceptable to him. It was right on brand for what I thought how he would handle it. He did not apologize for spiking the phone.
Oh, God, no. And he shouldn't.
He shouldn't.
No.
He absolutely should not. And Joel Embiid, I don't blame him one bit. I don't blame either one of those guys for their reactions and what they did. I think both of them have remorse in it because they got caught up in the heat of the moment. But Joel Embiid could have severely injured this reporter, and he didn't.
No. The man has fists the size of ham hocks. If he decided he wanted to do some damage,
he could have.
He could have done real damage to him.
And that, I think, is where we go. He did show restraint. Like, the NBA may be like, we want to see more restraint. I think what he did, he showed
restraint.
A lot of restraint just by giving the guy a shove.
Not regarding this particular Embiid incident, but like yesterday's with Jason Kelce. That guy is lucky. If that were just a random dude on the street, I feel like Jason Kelce showed a lot more restraint than some other dude might have shown that guy in that situation. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. I could absolutely see somebody on the street, instead of wheeling around and grabbing that phone, wheeling around with a right hook to the dude's jaw.
So it's almost like that guy is lucky that he, like, I know he was going at Jason Kelce because it was Jason Kelce, but were it not Jason Kelce and just some dude, yes, he could have easily been curb stomped and suffered a lot greater consequence.
Yep.
And I feel like they and I don't know what possesses a writer to invoke somebody's family in two different regards to try to tell somebody that they need to get themselves back on the basketball
court.
Well,
you're an arrogant fart sniffer, and your sense of self-importance is so high that you feel that you can get away with anything that you write. I think that's it.
Yeah.
But you can't. Like, you can say whatever you want. That is our First Amendment right.
Exactly.
It freedom of the press is a First Amendment right. But you also have consequences.
You're not free from the consequences.
Exactly. Yep. And the F around and find out scale is still undefeated.
That's right. So. That's right.
All right, coming up next, it's hour number 3, 2 o'clock, which means it's time for 3 up, 3 down, 3 things we like, 3 things we didn't, coming out of the NFL weekend that was, next on Danny and Dusty.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.